seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, and the fourth verse. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, and verse 4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, and verse 4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Throughout this blessed book of the Acts of the Apostles, we find many things of divine teaching, and how the Lord wonderfully led his dear servants in the ministry of the word, in the healing of the sick, and how he used them because his Holy Spirit was upon them. And on this occasion, the dear apostles Paul and Barnabas not only were preaching to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And through their ministry and through the apostle Peter's and James and others, there were many of the Gentiles brought to wonderfully fear the Lord and to seek him and to serve him. But there were those that were ever ready to attack their ministry. And here on this occasion, there were these certain men which came from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And what they were doing in bringing this before Paul and Barnabas was they were putting a yoke round their necks. And it's a very solemn thing. We read, didn't we, in verse 10, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? And you know, there are many in this dark and solemn days that will put yoke round the necks of the Lord's servants. And here they use the point of circumcision. And the reason they did that was because among the Gentiles the Lord was wonderfully working, and there were many among the Gentiles that were never circumcised, but it made no difference to the blessing of the Lord upon them. You see, these that had brought these things against the apostles were resting on salvation in circumcision, which there was no salvation in it at all. We know under the law of old, and you can read it back and see, the Lord commanded them to be so. But there was no salvation in it. And I don't want to tarry upon that, but it brought these dear men to go to Jerusalem and to put this point before all the disciples and the apostles and the elders. And we read that when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And our text speaks of what did take place. And it seemed to so rest upon me, the Lord seemed to lay it upon me, this verse, and I trust we shall prove it to be of the Lord. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. Now, I just want to tarry a moment here. They went to the right place. They went to Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem was a very special place to the dear apostles and to many of God's dear children in that day. It was God's holy city. It was the place where the Lord dwelt, and that's where they had to go. You know, to King David, there was no place like Jerusalem. And you see, David knew in his life what it was to be so favoured in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul, when he left the church at Ephesus in chapter 20, his one great concern was to go up to Jerusalem. Why? Because that's where the place where the dear Redeemer was to have suffered, bled and died. It was a holy city. The place where God's honour dwelt. And so, in with all this questioning by these that had come from Judea, the apostles went up to Jerusalem, and we read in our text, and when they were come to Jerusalem, well, let us look above the natural Jerusalem. It's a wonderful place, really, you know, but to many, of course, in this day in which we live, have raised up many idols in it. But let us look at above the Jerusalem naturally, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You see, in going up to Jerusalem, they were going up, and may we, the heavenly Jerusalem, where the Lord dwells. We sing in that beautiful hymn, don't we? Jerusalem, my happy home, name ever dear to me. There's a heavenly Jerusalem where the Lord dwells. And when there's any trouble, whether it's in your soul, in your family, in your pathway, in the church of God, may we ever take it to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the Lord himself. The psalmist said, didn't he? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And with this great yoke around the neck of these dear apostles, they didn't try and fathom it out themselves. They went up to Jerusalem to inquire not only of the apostles and the elders, but of the Lord, his mind, his will. And oh, may our leaders in this land, in the solemn state we're in, be brought to go unto the Lord in it all. You see, if we seek to do anything that's right before God, there'll always be those that are trying to put a yoke round our neck. And they did with the apostles. To bring them right down, to make them feel to be in bondage. They were trying to stifle the word of God that the dear apostles were preaching. And what were they preaching? A precious Christ to these Gentiles. And it wasn't just Paul and Barnabas, was it? If we read in the lesson how James was enabled to speak to them too, and to others of the disciples. These disciples were all of the same mind, and it's a wonderful thing, you know, when we're all of the same mind. Well, you know, if there's to be real prosperity in the churches, we've all got to be brought to the same mind. And let me prove it to you from the Word of God. You look on the day of Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter was to stand up and preach a precious Jesus that was crucified and slain, what were they? There was all those different nationalities, all different tongues, all different creeds of people. But they were one accord, in one mind. And you know, there's a lesson in that. And you look how the Lord appeared and blessed them. But they were one accord, in one mind. The apostle, when he went to Corinth, was of one mind, wasn't he? He said, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, may we be blessed with that gracious determination. And here with Paul and Barnabas, they were determined to do what was right in preaching to these Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and not listen to those that wanted to put a yoke about their neck. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. You see, the church in Jerusalem was so different than those that had come up from Judea. They were of the same mind, this church in Jerusalem, with the apostles. That's why they received them. They were one with them in the whole matter. That the precious Redeemer should be preached to the Gentile church and Jerusalem and the church there were one mind in it. And they received them. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when we think of back to our early days in the ministry, and you know, there were many men went forth in those years when we first ventured into the ministry in 1966. You see, it's a wonderful thing when the servants of God are received by the church. Why? Because if the Lord anoints a man to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, he will make his ministry received by those in the church. Oh, he will. That doesn't mean to say he won't have opposition, because he will. But you think, let me use the illustration of the dear Lord Jesus. You look how wonderfully his ministry was received in those the Lord applied it to. Those are in deep need, and a precious Jesus came and he ministered to them. And oh, how their souls received. But you look at the opposition there was from Satan and from his agents. And they did all they could to try and destroy the Lord of life and glory. Oh, they did. But they couldn't, could they? How many times they tried to take away his life. But he said to them, "Ye cannot take it away. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." And you know, if when the Holy Spirit applies the word, if it is preached, or whether it's read, or it's in the hymn we sing, faith in a well-exercised child of God, what will it do? It'll receive what the Lord speaks. Because they receive it as from the Lord. It's not the minister, it's received from the Lord. And when the church here received these dear men, as they went there, they were being received as from the Lord. Oh, they were. And there may be one exercise, you see, about following, when we're exercised about following the Lord in his sacred ordinance, his commandments. Oh, how sweet it is when the church can receive them. It's not the multitude of words that are spoken. It's receiving them as brothers or sisters in Christ. And here, when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. It wasn't just the church, there was those apostles there and the elders that received them. And how did they receive them? They received them in love. Oh, they did. Love to the Lord, love to his word that they had preached, love to their souls. You know, love is a wonderful thing, it is. What does the hymn writer say about it? Love all defects supplies. It makes great obstructions small. 'Tis prayer, 'tis praise, 'tis sacrifice, 'tis holiness, 'tis all. Natural love is a wonderful thing. But think about it far greater so spiritually. Oh, may the Lord immerse us in his love. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see a soul absolutely immersed in the love of Christ. Full of the love of Christ. You know, the Lord put Peter to the test on that matter, didn't he? And what did he say to him? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, I hadn't thought of naming this, but you see, let us think of these dear apostles like Barnabas and Paul. How did they minister like they did? They ministered in love. When I think back, you know, of some of the old servants of God that we sat under in our early days, their ministry sometimes used to cut us, we felt it would cut us right off completely. We couldn't be in the way at all. And yet we trembled as they preached. But in it all, there was such love. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, a ministry that lacks love lacks everything. You can hear the most searching and discriminating sermon. But if it's in love, it'll have a gracious effect upon you. Oh, it will. And it'll make you love that servant of God that preached such a searching, solemn sermon to you. Because why do they preach the solemnity and searchingness of the gospel? It's because love to the souls they preach to. And the Lord put Simon Peter, didn't he, to the test. And he said to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee? And he said, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith, Feed my lambs. And then he said to him again the very same question. And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, Feed my sheep. And then the Lord put it to him the third time. How would you stand and how do I if the Lord were to put that three times to us? The Lord knew that Peter loved him. But he puts him to the test. You know, if you've got a real religion, and so have I, we need put into the test. Oh, we do. How we really stand before a holy God. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And, you know, where there's love to the Lord, we'll be willing to do anything. Now you think of these dear apostles, there they were called to question, they're preaching to the Gentiles. These men that were seeking to bring them into bondage and to question their ministry and the need of circumcision were putting this yoke about their neck, and they were trying to destroy these dear men, but they couldn't because the Lord was with them. And so they go up to Jerusalem. They were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And then we read this beautiful word. And they declared all things that God had done with them. They were open. They were honest. They could tell it all. All they could. They could declare it. And that's a wonderful place to be in. And they declared all things. They didn't keep any part back, you see. when the Lord commissioned Timothy through the apostle to preach the word, the apostle made it so clear to Timothy that he got to hold nothing back. Declare the whole counsel of God. And here, they got something to declare, hadn't they? How the Lord had so used them, how he'd so blessed the word through them. And as they said that, you know, let us be very clear, they didn't say it to any glory to themselves. Oh no. They stood amazed the Lord should ever use them. And so will every God-sent servant. We stand amazed, you know, sometimes. Because, and many times, you know, when the servants of God feel bondage and feel bound and shut up, so many times the Lord uses it. He uses the word they preach, though they feel so bound, he uses it to prove to the poor man, he's only but a man, the bondage is with him, it's not with the word. And you know, over the years we've heard the testimonies of many, and you know, other ministers could have spoken to me of the same, you know, the Lord so used the word. Though it was sown as it were in bondage, but it was raised in power. And here, and they declared all things. Now, let us not just confine our thoughts this morning to these two dear apostles, but to each of us. I trust that's what we've come for. You know, when you come and go into the house of God, do you come for your own soul, that you might receive something from the Lord? Or do you just come up because it's the Lord's day? Or do you just come up because so you can meet with the friends? You know, these things are solemn. There they were, gone to Jerusalem, received of the church and the apostles. And what did they do? They didn't sit by idle, did they? They didn't sit in silence. Many today just sit in silence. They declared all things that God had done with them. They declared it all. Now there are a few points just briefly I want to name. Firstly, they didn't hold anything back. I hinted at it just now. They declared everything. They declared, and may we know it in our souls, what poor, wretched, vile sinners we are. It's like one dear old soul said many years ago. She said, you know, I can go to my God and I can tell him everything. I don't hold anything back. Knowing that he knows exactly how I am and exactly how I feel and all the things I'm in, I can tell him everything. And here they declared all things. And then they could declare how the Lord had wonderfully used them. Or they could. To these apostles and to the elders and to the church. They got some wonderful things to speak of, haven't they? How the Lord had so called many by his grace, brought them from the dregs of sin and serving Satan to serve the living God. There were those that were miracles of grace. of the wonders God alone had done. And they could declare it all, couldn't they? And what did they declare it for? For God's honour and for his glory and for his praise. So they declared all things. You may say, well, I don't feel I've got anything to declare. Don't you pray at all? Don't you look to the Lord for help? Don't you seek him for wisdom? Can you not declare how he's heard your prayers? He's seen your tears. He's given you sweet answers to those petitions. Those longings that you've had, he's granted them to you. And you can declare them, can't you? You think, using the illustration, it drops into our name, it of dear Hannah. You know, Eli completely misjudged her as she prayed in the temple, didn't he? He thought she was drunken. Only her lips moved. But oh, you think after the Lord had given her her Samuel and she could present him to the Lord, I am the woman that stood before Eli, before the Lord, groaning and crying to the God of heaven. She got something to declare, and she had the Lord, for this child I prayed. And the Lord hath granted me my petition that I ask of him. Oh, that we might have those things to declare. And how he's delivered you from the bondage of the law. You see, those that kept pressing the point on circumcision were under the bondage of the law, they were. They didn't know anything about liberty. They were bound. But the apostles had known what it was to be bound themselves under God's holy law, and they knew what it was to be condemned by the law and come in guilty. But they could declare something far greater, couldn't they? What the Lord had done, deliver them from all that bondage. And all the condemnation of the law and all their hope was in a precious Jesus. Where's yours and where's my hope this morning? Can we truly say from an honest heart before the Lord, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And then it comes very close. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Sweet to be able to declare it, isn't it? Oh, it is. You know, some of us, when we were young, we used to sit at our grandparents' feet, you know, and we'd listen to what they declared or what the Lord had done for them. And that's very sweet, you know. You read in some of the old gleaners of how the many little children, you know, sat at their grandparents' feet and listened while they declared the wonders God alone had done for them. And what I declare, it's not only speaking, you see, with our lips declaring it. That is wonderful, and that is a wonderful thing to be able to do. But you think of our lives. The hymn writer said, let our lives and acts express the very gospel we profess. Now, these dear apostles, Paul and Barnabas, we know they're only men, but they were true servants of the living God. They not only declared it through their ministry, their lives declared it. Oh, it did. You see, it's not just how we speak, it's how we walk. Oh, it's how we walk. You see, before the Lord, he sees us exactly how we walk. Whether we walk in his ways and his commandments, walk according to his word, walk in the way that the church has trod down from Adam's day to this, or whether we're walking with the world. You cannot walk with both. You see, we're not only answerable before the Lord, we're watched by God's dear people. How do we walk? You see, these two dear men, they could declare it in their walk exactly how they walked. They walked by faith. The hymn writer says, 'tis by faith and not by sight, Christians yield obedience. That we walk the path of faith. That we walk under the influence of God's grace. So there's not only the all-seeing eye of the Lord upon the poor sinner, like he was upon these dear servants, but the eyes of the Lord's people are upon them. How we walk, how we dress, how we act. But then we're watched by the world. You think of what it's recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. They took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. It was seen, you see. And even the ungodly in the world saw it. They'd been with Jesus. And they declared all things that God, not what they'd done, many will boast of what they've done, that God had done with them. They were the instruments in the hands of God. It's like in many things, occupations in work, you use the instrument. Like a mechanic will use a spanner or a screwdriver. That spanner, that screwdriver, and I speak it with reverence, cannot act itself. But in the hands of the mechanic, it can do wonderful things in a natural way. These dear servants, Paul and Barnabas, that went to Jerusalem and declared what all things that God had done with them. They were the instruments, but they were in the hands of Almighty God. And that's why the Lord so blessed them and used them for his honour, for his glory. In conclusion this, and I must be done. You say all our sins are seen by him. Sins of thought, of word, of deed, of action. Nothing escapes the eyes of the Lord. And do we know what it is to mourn over our shortcomings, our sins, our thoughts, how we wander from him? And if we are honest, you know, and one of the lessons the Lord will teach a real child of God from the very first day begins to work in them is making them honest. the Apostle Paul knew it well. And he could declare how the Lord so brought him to acknowledge his sin and to seek the Lord for mercy, and how the Lord gave him mercy and gave him pardon and gave him peace, and all his hope was in the dear Redeemer. Well, I've scratched around the surface, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. May the Lord give us grace to do the same. Amen.